event that's ever been on planet Earth, and we talked about his resurrection, and some of you didn't get to come this morning. I'm not going to re-preach that, but I'm going to tell you the resurrection of Christ is what made the difference, and we had a great service. But tonight I want to talk to you about the hope of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection. It's Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 13, if you will. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray. Father, help us today as we try to preach. I pray you'd remove any hindrances. God, help us to open our ears and open our eyes that we might see and hear. And then help us to open our hearts that we might receive the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God, I don't know who's been saved in here. I only know I've been saved. I don't know anybody's heart. I just know my heart. And God, we can't judge people any other way. And there's some tonight that maybe think they're saved, and they're not. And they won't have part in that great resurrection. And then there are others that are saved, and they're doing the best they can, and they need a little encouragement this week to go on in spite of trial and tribulation. Now, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what gives us this hope. That's what gives us this faith. We know that if he lived that sinless life, we cannot live. And he died in the place of sinners, that's us. And he rose from the dead the third day to prove that the sacrifice had been accepted by God the Father. We can have hope, and hope eternal through him. So I pray tonight, if there's one amongst us, know you, that tonight you would open their eyes, enlighten them to see that he is our hope. But then for those of us who are saved, I pray tonight you would encourage our hope, strengthen our hope, and help us to get out and share our hope, God. And whatever's done, we'll look up to heaven and say, Jesus did it all. And we'll thank you for it in his wonderful name. It not only gives us hope that there is an eternal resurrection, that Jesus raised from the dead himself, but it gives us a hope in this life. He said, if in this life only we have hope, we of all men most miserable. Because you're going to eat and you're going to drink and tomorrow you die. And if this is all there is to it, then why worry about it? Amen? Why worry about it? Well, we know better than that. There are several ways that we know about that. We know there is a resurrection of us. As the Lord was raised, he's going to raise us up. We know that. We know that several ways. Number one, we know that by the Word of God. We know that by the testimony of the Holy Spirit, that his heart, that he speaks to our heart and our mind. And we know that by example. We've seen people cross over onto the other side with that great hope, even on that last day. They had that great hope that one day there will be a great resurrection. Now, I want to kind of preface it before I start. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're saved, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you know the moment you quit living your body, then the real you, your soul and spirit, ascends into heaven. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is just our tabernacle, the Bible calls it. Tabernacle means temporary dwelling place. I wouldn't get too comfortable with it if I was you, because it's going to rot and fall in. I'll just go ahead and tell you that now. And the older you get, the more you'll realize that. You may be 15, 16, 20, 25 years old and think you're going to live forever. We all thought that, amen? And then one day we woke up at 60 and realized we're falling apart, man. We got aches, we didn't ever think we'd have aches in. We used to make fun of people for being like us the way we are now. Amen? You won't live forever. This body's got a curse on it. And so one day this body's going back to the ground. And when it does, if you're saved, you go to be with the Lord Jesus immediately. You're not going to sleep in that grave. I hate to go to funerals and people say, boy, he's just sleeping. No, he's not sleeping. He's dead. His soul and spirit's in heaven. It's alive and well if he's saved. But now if he's saved, he still ain't just sleeping. He's dead and in hell. The rich man, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, the body said. You don't have to wait the judgment day to get that. That's immediate. Judgment day is going to decide how much punishment you receive through all eternity in the lake of fire. When you die, you're either going to heaven or hell. And when we go to heaven, that's not even the end of it. That's just we get to be with the Lord until He resurrects our body on that great resurrection day, the rapture of the church. And He resurrects our body and gives us that eternal body and unites it with our soul and spirit. And then we'll be judged for our works done in our body. Not for heaven or hell. We're already in heaven. But for reward or loss of reward in heaven. Amen? And so don't get these things mixed up. People don't just go to sleep. When you die, you're not asleep. You're wide awake. Amen? Amen. The rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus woke up in Abraham's bosom, being comforted by the angels. And the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments immediately. Immediately. Don't let these people deceive you, these Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all that stuff. Don't you let them deceive you. They're not telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This ain't my sermon. This is just my introduction. But because of those of us who do know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd say that's most people on Sunday night. Lost people don't usually go to church on Sunday night. It's hard enough to get them to go to Sunday morning. What a blessing it was to have some in here this morning. I could see the Lord working on them. Amen. I could see it. Y'all don't see what I see. I see things. Amen. I see faces. And your face is a window to your soul. I know what's going on. Amen. I used to be there. Amen. And we're going to be, those of us who are saved, we're going to die. Unless something happens. Unless the Lord comes back and the trumpet sounds, we're going to die. We're going to lay down this body. I tell you all the time, my mom was 99. That's a rarity. That's not normal. That's the grace of God. She doesn't deserve it any more than you do. It's just for some reason God's given her that grace. I think He did it for me. I know He did. Three different times the doctor says, let's just let her go. She's going to die. I say, I ain't ready to let my mama die. I need my mama. I'm a mama's boy. I've always been a mama's boy. I mean, Brother Ron was a fighter. I was a lover. I never was a fighter. He was a daddy's boy. Amen. I didn't have a daddy. All I had was a mama. So therefore, we're going to lay down that body, and you're probably not going to live to be 99. I'm just going to go ahead and break it to you. And don't get too excited. I plan on preaching all of your funerals. I already got some of them written out. Ooh, wee. You better treat me good. I get the floor when you gone. preacher, I ain't never heard nobody say nothing like that. Well, I'm glad you came. You get a little joy. But we have to face death. We've got to do it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's an appointment you will not get out of. And Blenda will not be late. Woman ain't never been on time nothing in her life. I can see it now up there in heaven. Where's Belinda? She wrecked that motorcycle 30 minutes ago. But it's an appointment. We got to do it. We got to do it. And look, the sooner you understand that and acknowledge that, the sooner you can accept that, the sooner you can be born again. Because you're not going to get saved till you realize you're going to die. If you think you're going to live forever, you don't see a need for salvation. Amen? But if you realize there's a day appointed, it's appointed that a man wants to die, there's an appointment I've got, and I don't know when it is, and I better be ready. Amen? And so you get thinking that way. Then you think, well, I'm not worthy to go to heaven. And you're not. Nobody is. There's none righteous. No, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. Amen? We're all sinners. We're born sinners. That beautiful little baby down here this morning whining and crying. Wasn't that wrong, that youngin? Little liar. You all were little liars. We was all little liars. We grew up lying. Amen? I ain't never heard a preacher say that. Well, I'm glad you found somebody to tell you the truth. And we realize that. We realize all it takes to be a sinner and go to hell is to break one commandment. That's all it takes. And then we read the commandments. And by the way, that's why they don't want them published on the courthouse steps. They think if you don't know them, you won't be accountable. But I've got news for you. Ignorance will not be an excuse. He sent them. Amen? And we can't even keep the first commandment. We can't love the Lord thy God with all our heart and all our strength and all our mind. We love ourselves sometimes. I forget God. Love my wife sometimes. And sometimes I love my children, forget God. Sometimes I love my grandchildren, my friends. And so we can't even keep the first commandment. So don't sit there and say, well, I don't commit adultery. You ain't made it past the first one yet.
Come on.
Well, I'm not a drunk. Get back to the first one. Did you make it past the first one? And then we realize we need a Savior. And we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, I have no hope and no help without Him. And that day, He reaches down into your heart and He gives you a new heart. You get a heart transplant. He told Isaiah, He said, I'm going to take out that stony heart and I'm going to put in a fleshly heart. You find yourself crying at the least little old things. I can't even watch some stuff on television I used to watch when I was lost. I tried to watch that old ER program. It comes on Netflix now, and I tried to watch it. And then people run in and out of those emergency rooms. They cut them open, and little babies and young. I got to crying. I said, I can't watch that. I can't watch that. It gave me a new heart, see. A heart full of love instead of hate. Amen? He gave me a new mind. And I kid with people sometimes. I said, I went in Eastside Baptist Church March 5th, 1978. I got saved. I went in a Democrat and I come out Republican. Yeah. Don't blame me. I didn't do it. I was happy the way I was. He give you a new mind. You'll think different. He give you a new heart. He give you a new tongue. That old sharp thing you used to have, you used to like to curse people. Blaspheme the name of God. I just give Him peace of my mind. Most people don't have enough to share. You need to hang on to what little bit you got. Amen. That old sharp tongue. And the Bible says that words can build up or tear down. It can give life or destroy life. This thing right here. You can talk to a little old youngin' wrong and destroy the rest of their life because of the way you talk to them when they was little. They did me. If it hadn't been for God coming in there and doing a work, man. So we've got to realize that there is a God and that we are sinners and we do need a Savior. And one day there is going to be a resurrection because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And then that brings us to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I hear the rustling of pages. I love it. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It gives us a lively hope. Because He was raised, I can be raised. Because of what He did, I can have hope. Amen. And it's not a dead hope. It's a lively hope. You know, a lively hope is a hope that is active. It's doing things. A lot of people claim to be Christian and they look more like they got the flu or something than they got faith. Some of them look like they've been eating persimmons. Green. Amen. His Yankees looking, what? Persimmons? One of these days, I'm going to slip in here and get some persimmons and hand them out. And then I'm going to say, okay, everybody whistle. Y'all ain't never eat persimmons? You rednecks ate persimmons. You thought it was a plum. It wasn't no plum. It was a persimmon. It's like eating a box of chalk, man. But it's sweet. Amen. But most people that claim to believe in the resurrection, their faith and the way they act is as dead as it can get, man. It's not lively. Did you know that the faith in the resurrection, because Jesus was raised, that I'm going to be raised, that faith will give me a lively hope. It'll cause me to do things. It'll cause me to believe things. It will cause me to act in ways that are not normal, to where I just read you a while ago, they'll end up calling you peculiar people. They don't call you peculiar because of what you believe. They call us peculiar because of the way we act. Amen. To get up in here and sing the way you do. Yeah. God, who would do such a thing as that? Go down there to the nursing home and preach down there and then pull people and not even in their right mind. Who would do that? A lively hope would have you do that. Well, why I got to go to church all the time? Because you'll enjoy going to church. That lively hope will stir you up and make you want to do things for God and worship God and serve God and help God's people and help others. Amen? It's a lively hope. And then look at John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at it with me real quick. Look at verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, you know what that'll do? That'll put a love in your heart. That resurrection and believing on the resurrection and trusting in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to raise you up. And like the old song used to say, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. Make me love everybody, make me love everybody, make me love everybody, it's good enough for me. We're going to go on the road with that song. Listen, I'm telling you, a resurrection, a hope in a resurrection will give you a purifying hope that you won't find hate in your heart anymore. Now, I used to be full of hate. I grew up around people and with people and in a family of people that were full of hate. They felt like that the world had done them wrong and everybody was out to get them. And every preacher was a crook and every Christian was a hypocrite. And they felt like the church was a lie because the church had never done nothing for them, you know. And they were full of meanness and hate and fighting and fussing all the time. Screaming and hollering. I ain't getting to nobody, Emma. But boy, I remember that day that Jesus came in. When He came in this door, hate went out the other door. Amen? Amen. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart. And that makes me love everybody. And guess what? That gives me a purifying hope that there's nobody I hate. I want everybody to go to heaven. Amen. I worked with a black man one time. He knew I was a preacher. He'd never been to my church. He didn't know anything about me. He didn't like me. And I asked him, I said, why don't you like me? He said, you're a bigot. I said, you don't know anything about me. I said, you don't. He said, well, you're a white man. You're a bigot. I said, no, I'm not. I said, matter of fact, sounds like you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, every Sunday, I drive a church bus every Sunday of the year, and I pick up 30 to 60 kids, and usually two-thirds to almost all of them will be black children. I said, now how many black children did you take to Sunday school this past week?
Yeah.
I walked off and left him with that. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. I care more about where you're going.
Amen.
It's a purifying hope. It's a changing hope. Because I know there's a resurrection one day, and I've got to stand before a holy God and give account for what I've done in my body. It will purify me, and it will make me love people.
Amen.
Since I've been saved, I can't find hate in me. I've tried. I'll be honest with you. People have done me wrong. They've done my wife wrong. And boy, just make you sit down and cry and break your heart. And Brother Ron, you want to get mad and get back at them, but you can't find it in you to do it anymore. You know what I found out, Brother Rick? If you'll just shut your mouth and keep trusting the Lord, time will always tell. And sooner or later, God will bring the hammer down. You won't have to do it. Amen? And people will look at those that criticized you and talk bad about you and lied on you and all those things. And people will look at that crowd and they'll say, they ain't even in church anymore. They don't even live right anymore. And that's the crowd that accused them. And boy, what you wanted to do, you wanted to bust somebody's head. Amen. You just wanted to get mad. Lord! But you couldn't find it in you because hate had purified you. I mean, God's love and the hope of resurrection had purified you from hate in your heart. Amen? This country was built and sustained on Christians looking for the resurrection. It'll change your life. All right, hurry. Y'all not listening fast enough. Hurry. Look at John 14. John 14. And most of you already know it. John 14, verse 3, Jesus is talking. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. And he said, I'm going to heaven, fellas. And I'm going up there and I'm going to make you a place while I'm up there. And the good news is, if I go make you a place, I'm going to receive you where I made you a place. Amen? Now, that's a comfort and hope in the resurrection. I've done a lot of funerals. I can't even count funerals. I've been preaching funerals since 1981. I can't count them. I've met people that said, you preached my mama's funeral. And I wouldn't have told them, but I thought, I don't remember. I'm serious. I've been the poor man's funeral preacher around this town for a long time. Some of y'all would say, amen, I preach some of your kinfolk's funeral. And sometimes people come up to me, I don't even know. They'll say, well, you preached my brother's funeral. I say, well, it was an honor. I may not remember it, but it was an honor, you know. And guess what? To be comforted, bring him out. He needs to go in there. But to be comforted at a death, because the only way you can be comforted is to know this is not the end. This is not the end. And so, if you have been saved by the grace of God and you're looking forward to the resurrection, you can be comforted in knowing there's a resurrection. I preached five of my eight brothers and sisters' funerals. I will do my mama's. It'd be hard, but I'll do it. I couldn't have done it if I didn't know that they were not going in a cold, hard, wet, dirty, filthy, worm-infested ground. I knew that they had that they're to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. I knew their soul and spirit was gone. That was just a shell. But if I didn't believe in the resurrection, I'd even have a hard time putting a shell in the ground. But I knew that they were going to be, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, they were going to be planted in the likeness of His death, and they were going to be resurrected in the likeness of His resurrection. They were going to get a new body. That gives me hope, and it gives me comfort. I don't know how lost people go to funerals and find any comfort. My brother used to tell me, my younger brother, he didn't have insurance. I said, I'm going to buy you some life insurance because I'm going to have to pay for your funeral. I don't need any insurance. Yeah, you do, because I'm the one who's going to be left and I'm going to have to pay for your funeral. Well, you just throw me in a ditch somewhere and cut me up. I won't care. I said, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, it's against the law. Number two, I wouldn't get any comfort out of that. People now die and they don't even have funerals for them. I'm serious. People die They cremate them. They go throw them off in the river somewhere, on the ground somewhere. I don't know what they do with them. And they never even have a service. I've had to talk two or three people that has come there, not regulars, not even members, but two or three people that came to this church who had loved ones to die and they cremated them. I've had to talk them into having memorial services. Do you want to know why? Because they didn't know the Lord, and they don't see any comfort in a funeral. Here's what you got to understand. That funeral's not for you. It's for the ones you leave behind. So we need some comfort when people die. And how in the world can I comfort you if you're not even saved? There's no room for comfort there. Because you see, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin. How can you comfort a dead man? You need to be made alive in Christ. That spirit will be born again, come to life, and then it can receive the spirit comfort of the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, you'll find no comfort. We just had Easter today. Jesus rode into town on that borrowed colt on Monday. By Wednesday, Judas had betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas realized what he'd done before the whole thing was over. He went back and he said, "This is dirty money," and tried to give it back to the priest. And they refused to accept it because even they called it blood money. "You sold a man's life for 30 pieces of silver," they said. So he takes the money, throws it at feet, runs out, and the Bible says he tried to find a place for repentance. And he couldn't find it. Doesn't mean a physical place, it means a spiritual place. He went out and tried to find God and get some comfort for what he had done to the Lord Jesus Christ, selling him out. And he tried to find some comfort, and he couldn't find any. He even tried to repent. The Bible says he repented. He changed his mind, but he didn't get forgiveness, and he didn't get salvation, and he couldn't live with it. So the Bible says he went out, and he hanged himself, and he was so heavy with sin, the tree limb broke, and he fell down in the gully, hit the rocks, and the Bible says his innards gushed out. He couldn't find any comfort. Look, if you've never been born again and you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you won't let the Holy Spirit put His presence and power inside of you and give you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, you're not going to find comfort in anything in this world.
Amen.
They're telling us now that the overdoses of drugs are worse now than they've ever been. Now, I was born in the 50s, 54, grew up in the 60s and the early 70s. I saw every kind of drug you could imagine. I saw people shoot it every way you could shoot it, smoke it, snort it, burn it, any way they could get it, pills, bottle, alcohol, anything they could get. But they say it's worse now than it ever was. And now they've got the fentanyl. And all that is a powerful sleep agent is all that is. Something to help you sleep. It's like a painkiller put you under and all that stuff, you know. And because they can't find peace.
Right.
Prince did it recently. One of the richest men in America died because he couldn't find peace. And so, because he didn't have peace, he tried to dull his senses with painkillers. And it may dull your brain, but it won't dull your spirit. Just like Judas, he couldn't find peace and he died. Michael Jackson, same story. One of the richest men in America, couldn't find peace with God. He had religion at one time, but he never had Christ. And he died trying to dull that pain of not knowing and having no hope. And they all died without hope in this present world. And then we come along, and the Lord Jesus, somebody preaches the gospel to us. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody came by and you didn't want to hear it. And you really didn't care. I tell people, I didn't care. You really didn't care and didn't want to hear it. And they'd say things like, you know, God loves you. And you'd say, but you really have felt something when they said it. And somebody comes by and said, let me read you a few scriptures. I want to show you how to go to heaven. And you say, well, if I got to. But you really felt the presence of God when they did it. And then one day you finally, the Holy Spirit says, today's the day. It's now or never. And you surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And you walked down an aisle or you got on your knees somewhere in a room. It might have been a hospital bed. And you asked God, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I ought to go to hell. I shouldn't go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. And I'm asking Him to save me right now. And He moved in. And He gave you a hope. He gave you a hope you never had. And you didn't know what that hope was until one day you went to church and somebody talked about a resurrection.
Amen.
You said, but I've been feeling better, but I couldn't explain it. Now I know I get to go to heaven, and not only my spirit, but I get a new body too. Amen?
Amen.
And so it gives you a comfort in hope. And then one more. And look at Romans chapter 8. Boy, this is one of my favorite ones. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Real quick. I could preach on it all night, but I'm going to quit, okay? I know some of y'all want a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Certainly don't want eggs. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 18, if you will. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see that? Skip down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, I know you're going to think it's crazy. And some of you may have never thought of it like this. He says all of creation groans because of what sin's done to creation. And we've groaned because of it. And we're looking forward to that resurrection. But he says something even more, I guess you could use the radical or whatever you want to say. He says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, it does not scare me. Death used to scare me. Death frightened me because I didn't understand death. But now I have eternal life. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. The older you get, the more you'll understand this. You old folks can agree with me. We kind of look forward to that resurrection. I mean, it gets hard living down here. And your heart gets broken a lot living down here. And you get disappointed a lot down here. Amen?
Amen.
And then your health fails you, and that hurts. Amen? And then you see your loved ones dropping off one by one, them going on ahead of you, heaven or hell. And you start thinking, my mama said it the other day, she said, you know, all my brothers and sisters are gone. Her daddy was born in 1834, and he died in 19-something, before I was ever even born. She was born in 1919. Now listen to me, she said, I know more people on the other side than I know on this side. She said, all my brothers and sisters are on the other side. She said, all my old friends down at the church, they're on the other side. She said, all my old friends, they're on the other side. She said, most of my family is on the other side. I don't have much to stay here for. Groaning for that adoption. Groaning
for that resurrection day. And as we go on, as we get older and we grow more in the faith, we realize this old world don't have much to offer. The resurrection is looking better every day. You say, you bunch of Christians, y'all crazy. You want to die? We're not going to die. We're going to change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed, and we'll meet them in the Lord, in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now you listen to me. We'll to groan for the next world, not this one. Amen. What's wrong with the church today is they're so got so much world in them. The church has got so much world in it. They don't want, they're not interested in going to heaven. They're not excited about a resurrection. They think they're having too good a time here. Because they're carnally minded. They're not spiritual minded. I don't have a problem going to heaven. I'm looking forward to it. If he took me today, it'd be victory. Y'all listening? It'd be victory. What about your family? I love them. But see, God, I've already given them to God. That's between him and them. I'm not groaning to stay here. I'm groaning for heaven. You know that song, Heaven's Looking Sweeter All the Time? Now, if you don't know the Lord, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ doesn't mean a whole lot to you. But we look at it and we see he died, we'll die. And then we see he arose, we'll arise too. And one day, with my eyes, I shall see him. I'll see his face with these eyes. I'll see his face. Why? Because I believe in the resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I think I'd just rather be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Well, preacher, when I get old and I can't sin no more, I'll think about that. You might not get old. A lot of people don't make it far. Some of us have, amen? You might ought to get ready now. And then if you're a Christian, I tell you, don't fall in love with this whole world too much. It's going to burn up. The Bible says it's going to melt with a fervent heat. And everything you put all that time and treasure into, every bit of it is going up in smoke, every bit of it. You ain't taking nothing with you. Job said, naked I came and naked I'll leave. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wouldn't get too attached down here if I was you. That trumpet might sound tonight. Wouldn't it be something? Eating that last Easter egg. Da 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 da! Woo! Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God that never changes in air.